In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The saints of the church are a great treasury. And today, as we celebrate the Feast of All Saints of Russia, we can be assured that Russia has not been poverty-stricken on that level. We have a great wealth of saints in the Russian church. Today, I'd like to talk about one of the more recently glorified saints of the Russian church, and that's Saint Matrona of Moscow, also known as Blessed Matrona the Blind. She was born in 1881 in a village that's in the region of Tula, which is to the south of Moscow a good bit, and her family was very poor. She was the fourth child to be born in that family, and the family contemplating another mouth to feed was seriously considering putting her in an orphanage because they just couldn't afford to feed the child. And then before she gave birth, the mother had a dream. In the dream, she saw a white dove that perched on her right hand and had a human face, and the eyes were closed. And God told her that this child would be a special child and that she needed to keep it. So she took that as a sign from God. Also, when Saint Matrona was baptized, after the priest immersed her in the font, everyone saw a wispy column of aromatic smoke that came from the baby, and so the priest commented that he'd never seen anything like it, and that this child would be a saint. So she was born blind, her eyes were closed. One thing I read said that she didn't even have eyeballs. I'm not sure if that's the case, but certainly they weren't functioning. But she was given the gift of spiritual insight, and she could see things that other people couldn't see, and she could even see things in the world which you would assume a blind child would not be able to see. When she was a toddler, her parents one night found her outside in the icon corner. She had taken the icons down and was talking to the icons. And so that was the kind of play that she engaged in. By the time she was 7 years old, she gained a reputation for being a healer. So people from all over would come and they would ask for her to pray for them. And as a matter of fact, people also, to show their gratitude, would give the family food. And so instead of being a drain on the family, she actually became a chief breadwinner in the family. When she was 14 years old, she had an opportunity to meet St. John of Kronstadt. And after the liturgy, St. John asked the people to move out of the way for her. And he said, "Matronushka, come to me. Here is my replacement, the eighth pillar of Russia." She foresaw the revolution. She told people what was coming, the destruction and the desecration of churches. She advised a landowner in the area who was a very generous man that he should sell his property and move out of the country. He didn't take her advice, and so unfortunately lived to see his estate robbed and him eventually executed. Her mother called her one day a miserable child, and she was surprised, and she said, "Am I miserable? It is my brothers Vanya and Misha who are miserable." And she knew that God had given her much, and her brothers actually wound up becoming communist after the revolution, and they were embarrassed by how many people were coming to their sister for prayer, and so she moved to stay with family and friends in Moscow in 1925. But before that happened, there was a woman in the village. She was about 28 years old. And so in those days, you were really past your expiration date if you weren't married and you were a woman. And so she was considered to be an old maid. And she wasn't a very attractive woman. She's described as being plain. But St. Matrona said that she would marry a handsome nobleman with a nice mustache, and everybody thought that that was the most crazy thing that they'd ever heard. Nobody believed that it would happen. And so St. Matrona advised this woman, Evdokia, to go to Moscow to look for work. And when she came to Moscow, she began to work for a very wealthy family, the Zhdanov family, and she was a cook. And they had a son named Vladimir, who was a very pious man, and one night he heard a voice that said, "Marry Evdokia." And so he went to his mother and he said, "Is there an Evdokia in the house?" And she said, "Yeah, there's an Evdokia, she's a cook." So he went to the kitchen, and he saw her, and saw that she was a very plain-looking woman. He almost fainted. He felt so sorry for himself that God would ask her to marry a woman that was so plain, because obviously he had better prospects in his mind. So he didn't immediately act on what he was told, but then one day he was traveling in his own carriage, and he was going down a wooded road, and there was an old man they saw up ahead, so he told the coachman to pull aside and let the old man pass. And the old man came up to him, and he said, "Mary of Dukia." And then he disappeared. And later at this time, keep in mind that St. Seraphim of Sarov was a fairly recently glorified saint. He was looking at an icon of St. Seraphim, and he said, "That was the old man that told me to marry Abdukia." So he decided to take it more seriously. And also, by God's providence, his parents, when he went off to study, decided, well, let's send Abdukia with him so she can take care of him, wash his clothes, feed him. She won't be any kind of a temptation to him after all. And so while he was away at school, they got married. And his family were horrified that their son, who had all this bright future, would marry this plain cook, a commoner. And so the family never accepted the marriage. But when the revolution happened, the fact that he was married to a commoner was actually what saved his life, because he was in a different status. His family had been very close to the Tsar, and so the fact that he was married to a commoner saved him, although it didn't save him persecution from the state. He wound up in prison at a certain point, but it saved his life, and also he was able to save some of the members of his family. They had a daughter, Zinaida, who became St. Matrona's biographer. And one day she was feeling sorry for St. Matrona's blindness, and she said, "It's such a pity, Matushka, that you can't see the beauty of the world." And St. Matrona replied, "Once God opened my eyes and showed me his creation, I saw the sun and the stars and the sky and the beauty of the earth, the mountains, the rivers, the green grass, flowers, and birds." And one day, Zinaida got to see how much God had shown her and how much she could see. She was studying to be an architect, and she describes what happened. She had a professor that took a disliking to her, and her hopes for taking care of her family all hinged on her getting her diploma and becoming an architect and being able to support the family. And she wrote, "Matushka was illiterate, but she knew everything. In 1946, I had a diploma project on the architectural ensemble of the Admiralty. I was a student of the Institute of Architecture in Moscow. My supervisor harassed me for no reason at all. For 5 months that I had worked at the diploma, he had not had a single meeting because he had decided to fail my project. And then one day he said to her, 'Tomorrow a committee will come and see that your work is unsatisfactory.' I came home in tears. My father was in prison, and my mother was my dependent. My only hope was to get the diploma and start working. Matushka listened to me and said, 'Come, you'll do it. We'll have tea in the evening and talk.' I could hardly wait until the evening." Matrona said, "We're now going to Italy, to Florence, to Rome, and we'll have a look at the great masters." And she started naming the streets and the buildings. Then she made a pause. "Here's the Pitti Palazzo. And here's another palace with arches. You should copy this. The first three levels with big bricks and two arches for an entrance." I was struck by her knowledge. In the morning, I rushed to the Institute, and I quickly did the necessary corrections. And at 10 a.m., the committee came. They looked at my project and said, "It looks great. Congratulations." So she got the diploma. The communists, over the years, because so many people came to her, often tried to arrest her. But she would foresee when they were coming, so she would just make arrangements to be moved to another house. She didn't stay in the same place for very long, usually. But there was one occasion when she didn't make those arrangements, and a militiaman came to her house to arrest her, and she said, "Go home quickly. It's an emergency. I'm blind, and I can't walk and won't escape from you." He believed her, and he rushed home, and there he found his wife, who was severely burned by the stove. And he was there just in time to take her to the hospital. And the next day he was asked, "Have you arrested that blind woman?" And he answered, "I will never arrest her. But for her, I would have lost my wife." She reposed in 1952, and up to her dying day, even though she became weak, people would come to her and she wouldn't refuse them, and she would pray for them, she would give them spiritual insight, she could see their spiritual problems and would tell them exactly what they needed to do. She would heal people who were sick. She was buried in the cemetery at Danilo Monastery in Moscow, and she prophesied before she died that her grave would become a place of pilgrimage. And indeed, it came to pass. It became one of the most frequented places in Moscow for pilgrims. And she continues to help people. There are books that recount the answers to prayer of people who've asked for her intercessions. Saint Matrona shows us that it's spiritual insight that is the most important thing. She was actually not able to walk after, I believe, about the age of 17. So here this woman who was totally handicapped physically, but spiritually, she was one of the strongest people that have ever walked the face of the earth. So we need to turn to her in prayer. We need to look at all the saints as a treasure. If we come to know the saints, we come to love them and learn from them, they can be a great asset to us. The saints are there for us, and if we want to become saints, we need to study the saints. If you wanted to be a military general, you would study the great generals of history. If you wanted to become a rich man, you would study the people who had made it big. If you want to become a saint, you need to study the saints and learn from them, follow their example, and ask for their prayers and become their friends. Amen.